A scholarship for vets who want to be your agency's next acquisition leaders is now available. The Coalition for Government Procurement unveiled it at their 35th anniversary celebration. Roger Waldron is president of the coalition and here now to talk about the celebration. This is quite rich to me, Roger, because I'm here at the Ritz-Carlton in Tysons for a GovCon, and you're at the studio.
Hey, so, Francis.
It works out great.
Francis, I want to take your job.
All right, don't get too comfortable, I suppose, is what I should advise you then.
Okay.
Thanks for being on. Congratulations on the 35th anniversary celebration. What was the impetus of doing this scholarship program in the first place?
Well, when we were looking at, talking to our board and Bill Gormley and Carolyn Austin, we were looking for, something that sort of represents what the Coalition for Government Procurement is all about. And first of all, the formal name of the coalition is the Coalition for Common Sense in Government Procurement, which I guess it's hard to find sometimes, right?
But everybody loves it, though.
Yeah. And also, historically, the coalition has done a lot to support veterans, and especially veterans in transition to the civilian workforce. We have had a charity event, our charity golf tournament, for the last, decade or so, maybe a little bit less actually, but since I've been here, we've had our golf tournament. We've been able to raise over $50,000 that we've donated to Operation Second Chance and Hope for the Warriors. And just last year, we renamed the tournament the Joseph P. Caggiano Memorial Tournament in honor of a former board member who tragically passed away at far too young an age. And he was a veteran, and he was the driving force behind our charity efforts for veterans. So this year, in August, we did dedicate the proceeds of the tournament to this scholarship, and we were able to raise $25,000 in that golf tournament. And we had a silent auction at our celebration dinner, and we raised another $10,000. Our goal is to raise over at least $100,000 to ensure that the endowed scholarship is self-sustaining. And so it really combines the two things that we're all about, promoting common sense acquisition, and what's more common sense than training the future acquisition workforce by having a scholarship that is dedicated to veterans who are studying government procurement at the George Washington University Law School. And George Washington University is unique. It also has a master's program in government procurement. So we're able to support common sense, but also support veterans. It's what we believe we're all about as an organization.
Roger, what makes vets a good fit for the procurement world, for the acquisition world?
Well, veterans, are great for business. They're great to work in the government. They bring discipline, akin to attitude. They've worked in organizations. They understand what you have to work as a team, and they've been in government. They've been in the service. They understand some of the unique aspects of life of being, a member of the service and a government employee, and that informs their experience as well. I mean, it's just great training from a character perspective, from a values perspective, from a work ethic perspective, those who have served in the armed forces. And I think it's a great foundation and why I think it's great business to hire veterans and great opportunity for the government to employ veterans in the acquisition workforce.
Roger Waldron's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. You did a lot of really good. You covered a lot of great topics at this 35th anniversary celebration and conference. But I want you to kind of take us behind the scenes there, and maybe to what the chatter was that you heard at the tables during the meals or in the hallways between the panels and all of that. What is really on the minds of the people who are at the forefront of this business, Roger? What are they talking about that maybe they don't want to say in front of a bunch of people, but they're willing to talk about kind of on the sly?
Francis, you're asking me to tell tales after school.
But I'm not asking you to put names to them, Roger.
I'm kidding. But, I guess first I want to thank all our attendees and thank all the government folks who came. We had a huge and turnout from not a huge, but a very good turnout from GSA. I guess you could call it huge. And it was great to have a dialogue, a Mythbusters dialogue about areas of common concern and ensuring we have a procurement system that's more efficient and effective. We had a great representation from the Department of Defense. We had Principal Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for AT&L, Alan Estevez. He was there. You know, we had folks from DPAP, who is the biggest customer of GSA and government-wide contracts. We had NIH, Joanne Wojtek, and Rob Cohen from Joanne Wojtek from NASA SOUP and Rob Cohen from NIH. And I have them on my radio show next week, so looking forward to that.
Wonderful.
I guess, you know, I think, you know, folks are still, you know, I think it's fair to say waiting to see what, from a GSA perspective, put it, what is GSA going to do with regard to the GSA Schedules program? I think there was an opportunity to talk about the future of the program in our innovation panel. And I think, you know, I think that opportunity still exists because I think people still had questions about where the schedules were going in particular. I think, and there, a lot of folks are talking about how can we get commercial item contracting, that philosophy of reducing government unique requirements that are price drivers that increase costs for contractors at the same, and that ultimately the government and the taxpayer bear those additional costs because it goes into the price that's paid. Mm-hmm. How can we strip back and get back to, you know, making, you know, government-wide contracting, whether it's the, in particular GSA schedules, more of a market that that is open to innovation, open to commercial solutions. There's a lot of discussion, I think, concern that too many additional requirements, and especially in the area of data reporting, are being layered on the schedules program, to the point that, you know, the price reporting on GSA schedules or just the idea of our prices portal, I've characterized it as reverse auction by other means. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is what we're starting to see is you know, contracting officer Jones sees a lower price someplace else and says, I've got to get that lower price regardless of the terms and conditions that mm-hmm. that are associated with that lower price. And that's not sound business. I mean, the price yeah. is driven by a requirement, by the terms and conditions. And to the extent, you know, government is collecting these prices and they see lower prices without further analysis and doing your job as a contracting officer to understand the different terms and conditions, it becomes a spiral down to try to get the lowest price possible because I want to look good. Or I want to, you know, and I understand you're trying to save money, but it's got to be smart. And what that does is it suppresses the supply chain. Ultimately, you know, this reverse auction by other means, you combine it with the growth in government unique requirements, and you're going to be back where I was when I started in government. You have a very small set of contractors that make products and provide some services for the federal government that don't reflect the commercial marketplace, that really they're in place to serve the federal customer, to make, you know, the ashtrays back in the day, or you even had specs for those. And that's not what will benefit the taxpayer. Trying to reopen to the commercial marketplace in the long run is where we need to get back to, because I saw a sea change in the quality of product and the quality of services provided when the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act was passed and you started to implement commercial item. Rather than having a small subset of contractors that all they did is serve the federal government, you had open to traditional commercial companies, the quality of the products improved substantially. The government was able to take advantage of the commercial marketplace. And my fear is that this drive towards low price, the growth of government unique requirements is going to leave a very small subset of companies dealing with the federal market. And I don't think that's in the interest of the American people and the taxpayer and ultimately the customer agencies trying to meet mission requirements.
Roger, we're out of time now, but let's make a note. And I want to continue that conversation because with the emphasis on the prices paid portal and all of this data that GSA and OFPP wants available to agencies, I wonder if we can try to start a conversation about how to add other points of data to those numbers so they don't turn out to just be numbers. Let's try to continue that. Roger Waldron is the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. You can find out more about their big 35th anniversary event and the scholarship fund, and you can hear my conversation with Roger later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.